You know, God's eternal plan to redeem me and you and restore us to relationship with him burst forth into the earth on that first Christmas 2,000 years ago. Amen. Aren't you thankful for Emmanuel, Amen. God with us? Let's give him our praise this morning. Well, Merry Christmas. It's good to be with you this morning. I feel like we've already had church. Wasn't that a powerful time and message from our kids' dance team this morning? Amen. I used a lot of adjectives in my notes to describe God today, but bigger wasn't one of them, but I'm going to use it the whole sermon long, if that's okay with you. How many of you agree with that message this morning, that God is bigger than anything we're facing in our life? In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to talk to you this morning about what this season is about in our life. And I just really believe the word that God dropped in my heart for today for us that are gathered here is this. 'Tis the season to trust God. Amen. It's a good season to be jolly and fa-la-la and all that stuff too. But it's a season to go deeper in our trust with God. There are just some things in our life that aren't going to change until we go to deeper levels of trust in God. There are just some obstacles that are not going to move. Some things that aren't going to turn around until you and I come to a place in our life where we abandon self and we trust God. It is a season for things to change supernaturally in our lives. It really is. There is a wave that is building in the spirit. There is a supernatural tsunami, I feel like, that's on the way, and we got to catch it. But we don't catch it with a surfboard. We catch it by trusting God. It is a season to trust God. When I think about Christmas and I think about that first Christmas, we refer to it as Christmas. And when we're talking about Christmas, we're talking about the fact that the Son of God took upon himself flesh and humanity, and he came to earth so that he could walk in our shoes in a perfect way, so that he could die and pay a price that we could not pay, so that he could die and go to hell in our place, so that he could take back the keys of death, hell, and the grave, so that he could rise again for you and I, so that we could be restored to the Father. When we're talking about Christmas, we're talking about Jesus coming forth to accomplish that plan. Over 700 years before that happened, through the prophet Isaiah, he proclaimed that it was going to come to pass. How many of you know that God has plans for us? God has plans. No matter what you're in, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing this morning, I want you to know God is not clueless. He's on the throne. And if we will turn to him and we will trust him, he can work it for our good. But God was planning Christmas long before you and I ever came around. And the prophet Isaiah said, the virgin will conceive and bear a son. 700 years before it was to come to pass, God spoke it. He decreed it into the earth. A son, and he shall be called Emmanuel. God is with us. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will rest upon his shoulders, and his name. Everybody say his name. His name shall be called Wonderful. Close your eyes for a minute. I'm going to speak these names out. Let them come into your spirit. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Was proclaimed, that would be the first Christmas. That's what it's all about, Jesus. And if I think about it, you can look back at me for just a moment. I just think back over the years as my children are now 18, 17, and 7. And I think about the joy of the Christmases that we've experienced together, Indy and I, as you start thinking about things that they might like. How many know as parents, we like to love our kids. We like to bless our kids. We like to do good things for our kids. Y'all don't like to do that? Bible says, if you know how to be good to your kids, how much more does the Heavenly Father know how to be good to his, right? And I think about the things, you know, we would think, oh, they would like this. I heard them say that they would want this. And no, it's not that they need this. I just want to give them something because I love them so much. And the plans that you make and you sneak off and you do all the things. And if you're like me, you may have stayed up all night and putting things together, trying to get to work. The excitement of a father or the excitement of parents as you prepare to give gifts to your children. Think about 2,000 years ago as our heavenly Father was on the eve of giving the greatest gift that would ever be given in all of eternity, and how excited he was that finally he was going to be able to give the gift that could change everything. He was going to give the gift that split time, BC and AD. That very next day when Jesus was born in that stable to Mary and Joseph, the miracle of all the ages, the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, redemption, restoration, it was all going to come forth on that Christmas day. The excitement that the Father felt, I'm sure, was above anything that we could ever imagine. Yet with all the excitement in this first Christmas season for the Heavenly Father, I would think that it produced a very different type of season for those through whom the miracle would be birthed. I would call it a season of uncertainty. For the people that God had chosen to be his vessels or his conduits or the participators or the players in being part of bringing his miracle to the earth. You know, it's the way that God's always chosen to do it. God could do anything that he wants to do or wanted to do, but he's always chosen to partner with humanity when he wants to do something in the earth. When he wants heaven to come down in the earth, it's our job to say, kingdom of God come and will of God be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven can burst forth on the earth when we connect with the Father and we become conduits of his power. For those who were chosen to be a part of what God was about to birth in the earth on that Christmas Eve, I can only imagine the fear and the angst and the anxiety and the nervousness and the unknowingness and the uncertainty that came with being part of what God was about to do. I love the fact that God is real with us. And then when you read the stories in this book, always read the full story. Don't just read the end of the story. Because be it Abraham or be it Joseph or be it whoever you want to read about in the Bible, how many of you know they were humans just like you and I? And I like to read about their weakness. I like to read about their failure. I like to read about their doubt. And I like to read about their unbelief because I can identify with that. And how God will come along beside someone in that season of their life and yet have grace upon them and empower them and strengthen them and enable them to be what he's called them to be. Because before there was a star and before there was wise men and before there were shepherds and before there was a manger and before there was the miracle, there were questions and there was doubt and there was fear. And uncertainty. Have you ever been there in your life? Think about Zacharias when he went into the temple that day. Him and Elizabeth had prayed for a long time that they would have a child and it hadn't happened. Some of you here this morning have been believing God for something for a long time. You haven't seen it happen. God's bigger. It's a season to trust God. The angel shows up and delivers the message that it's the time. I'm going to birth your miracle. It's here. And you know what? Even though Zacharias had been praying for it, it reminds me of when the church was praying for Peter to get out of jail and the angel walks him out and he comes and knocks on the door of the house where they're all praying, right? And they look through the peephole and they can't believe that he's actually there and they don't open the door for him. Zacharias is like, how can this be? I don't understand. I can't believe it. It's past time. It's past time. I just want you to know this morning, prophetically, the word of the Lord is, it's not too late. it's not too late for your situation. And Zechariah, I don't know why God closed Zechariah's mouth, but probably to save him from himself. Aren't you glad that sometimes God saves us from ourselves and that we don't talk ourselves out of God's miracle in our life? And so he took away his voice, but there was so much uncertainty and so much fear and so much unknowingness in his life. And then I think about Joseph and how he's sitting there and he's like, what is going on? I thought I knew Mary. I thought everything was planned out. I had a plan. It was gonna happen the way I had it planned. And now everything is falling apart. I don't know what's going on. And the angel shows up in that season of uncertainty, in that season of fear and doubt and confusion and unbelief. And the angel says, it's going to be okay. I have a plan at work. Trust me. Follow me. And then, of course, Mary, as the angel shows up to her and says, you are the one out of all the women and of all the ages that God has chosen to be favored, to be blessed, to carry the seed of God into the earth, and to be the virgin that births Jesus Christ, the Messiah, upon the earth. And she says, how? You ever done that? How? How, God? How are you going to work this out? How are you going to come through this time? How are you going to turn this thing around? Can you relate to any of the people in this story? How can these things be? And the angel said, it's all right. It's all right that you feel that way. It's all right that you're experiencing those emotions. How many know God's all right with that? He knows our frame, that we are dust. That's why we need him. The Holy Spirit's going to come on you. He's going to overshadow you, right? The Holy Spirit's going to take care of it. God's going to do it. Your job is just to believe. And Mary just said, can't figure it out, but be it unto me according to your word. It is a season to trust God. It is a season that if we will trust God, our season of uncertainty will turn into the season of a miraculous turnaround. If we will trust God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Let me jump over here. I was going to say, you know, how many of you know that God doesn't mind the season of uncertainty in our lives? It's okay. Whether it's choices we make sometimes, anybody made bad choices in here besides me? Anybody in here blew it besides me? Anybody should have been somewhere that they ain't yet like me? Sometimes it's choices we make. Sometimes it's the circumstances of life. Sometimes it's a battle that we're fighting with the enemy of our soul. Or sometimes it's new levels that God's trying to get us to. God's okay with seasons of uncertainty in our life because it's in that season that you and I begin to understand some things that we would not otherwise understand, that we must have God. We must have God. Everybody say, I must have God. Now, there's a lot of days that we can go through in life if we're not in that place of uncertainty that we think we've got it all together. Has anybody ever felt like you had it all together? But in those seasons of uncertainty and unknowingness and bewilderment and confusion and fear, it's in those places that we draw closer to God than we ever have in our life. We go to deeper levels of trust and pursuit of the one whom we have to have. Have you ever got up in the morning and said, I can't fix this? But God, you can fix it. God, I can't undo what I did. But God, you can transform it. God, I don't know where this road is going, but God, I know you're going before me. See, God's okay with us being in those places because he knows the opportunity exists in those places for us to come to know him and connect with him in ways we never have before. He knows that these times of uncertainty in our lives are okay because they will lead to another season in our life, and that is a season of trust in God. And it's only when we trust him that the door opens for him to intervene in our circumstance. It's okay if we're uncertain, because then we can begin to trust. And when we begin to trust, the door is opened by our faith and by our belief in God. And we may be a mess, but God is bigger than our mess. So if you're uncertain about some things in your life today, maybe it's your family, maybe it's your marriage, maybe it's your future, maybe it's your finances, maybe it's your walk with God. No matter where you're at, we got to have a different perspective on this season. I have to tell myself, this is a good season. God is working to reveal himself to me in ways I've never seen him. God is drawing me to himself so that I know that I can't trust in anything but him. And when I trust in him, as Mary did, be it unto me according to your word, Jesus can be birthed into my situation. His power, his glory, his plan, his purposes. See, fear and uncertainty are not God's destination for our lives, but they are pit stops along the journey to our miracle. Because the place of deeper trust is what God's after in our lives. Psalms 23, David wrote, "Yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." There are measures of God's presence that we can only experience in the valley. Let me say that again. There are measures of God's presence that we can only experience in the valley, in the dark place, in the hard place, in the uncertain place. They're not on the mountaintop. They're in the valley of the shadow of death where he is with us. That's why Job could say at the end of the book, after all he had been through, he said, "I once heard about you, but now I know you." That's what this season can do in our life is, I used to have a mental assent or a mental agreement about these things of God, but now I know them. I've walked through them. God has proved himself faithful. He's done what no one else can do for me. He's birthed a miracle in my life through my season of uncertainty. It's out of the deep places of uncertainty that greater levels of trust come forth. That opens the door to God's intervention in our situation. Listen, if we choose, everybody say, "I must choose." If we choose to trust God, then he can move on our behalf. In our seasons of uncertainty, God is inviting us to put our trust in him. Can you say amen? Go ahead.
Jesus, I just don't trust you.
You don't trust me?
No, I mean, I want to trust you. I just don't.
I have an exercise that I think will really help.
Oh, okay.
Stand here and face this direction. Mm-hmm. Now, do you trust me?
No, I just said I don't trust you.
All right, well, this is all part of the exercise.
Oh,
all right.
Great. Okay.
Whenever I ask you if you trust me, you say, "Yes, Jesus, I trust you."
Even though I don't.
It's practice.
Okay.
So, do you trust me?
Yes, Jesus, I trust you.
Now, fall back.
Are you going to catch me?
Don't worry about that part.
Okay, that's the part I'm worried about.
You can do this, okay? Just trust me.
Trust you.
Fall back.
Okay, well, Jesus, I trust
Good.
You. Yes, I do trust you. I'm going to fall
okay.
back. Woo!
Oh, okay.
That's great.
Let's try this again. Just face this direction and keep your feet planted, okay. All right? Do you trust me?
Yes, Jesus, I trust you.
Now, fall back.
Okay, I'm going to do it.
All right.
I'm really going to do it.
Okay. Good.
Oh, Jesus, you're really coming! Yeah. I didn't think you were going to catch me, but you did!
Oh, that was great!
That was great!
You're ready for level two!
Level two, here
yes.
I come, baby! Woo!
Whoa!
Whoa.
Okay, hold it.
Oh, you know what? You're too close. You need to move back.
Ah, right.
Okay.
This one's a little bit different, Laura.
Oh, okay.
Stand here.
Uh-huh.
But face me.
Woo! Forward fall.
Okay.
I can do that.
Wait.
Whoa.
Okay. Wait for my signal.
Oh, right. The Jesus signal.
Yes, the Jesus signal. Do you trust me?
Yes, Jesus. I trust you so much.
Good. Fall back.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. Especially when you do it.
Seriously?
Of course.
Okay, Jesus, I don't know if you noticed this, but there is nobody over there.
I know it looks that way to you.
It looks that way. It is that way.
You can do this, Laura. Just trust me and fall back.
Jesus, I can't do that.
We can do it together.
I can't.
You can.
I won't.
How many of you know that the choice to trust God is ours and ours alone? How many of you would say with me that I'm going to trust God? He brings us to levels. We get comfortable with that level. And then we come to something that we're not comfortable with. He's wanting to take us from ankle-level trust to knee-level trust to waist-level trust to trust that we can swim in. But it's our choice. Trusting God is our choice. Let me read you a couple of scriptures about what God promises to those who trust in him. 2 Samuel 22:31 says, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him." All of that verse is predicated on the fact that we trust him. 1 Chronicles 5:20 says, "They cried out to God during the battle, and he answered their prayer because," everybody say, "because they trusted in him. The Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because," everybody say, "because they trust in him. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him and he will bring it to pass. Those who trust in the Lord are as secure as Mount Zion. They will not be defeated, but they will endure forever." The common denominator in all of those great works of God is that someone chooses to trust God. Regardless of what it looks like, smells like, feels like, tastes like, we say, "I don't see it, I don't know how, but God, I choose to trust you. Not here, but from in here." Because the bottom line is, all of us, when we come to those moments in life, are trusting in something. We all are trusting in something. And more times than not, we're trusting in ourselves. "I need more money, so I'll work more overtime," which is good, right? But we trust the work of our hand. We trust what we can do. We trust how we can figure it out. We play a part, but the part that we play always has to be predicated on the leading of God and his plan and his purpose in our lives. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will trust. We will remember the name of the Lord our God. Psalms 91:2, "This I declare of the Lord, he alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, in him will I trust." So a season of uncertainty in our lives today is okay, because it's God's invitation to deeper levels of trust in him. We just got to make the right choice. How many of you agree with me this morning? You're going to say, whatever you're facing, whatever is going on in your life, this is a simple prayer. This is not complicated. I say this a bunch of times a day. God, I just trust you. When I can't remember all the scripture references and I'm too flustered and I'm too overcome, you can say, God, I trust you. Amen. I trust you with my children. I trust you with their future. I trust you with my future. I trust you with my bills. I trust you with my health. I trust you with this pain. I trust you with this brokenness. And if we will trust God, it opens the door for him to come rushing in. Trust is giving God permission in times of difficulty and pain and uncertainty. Instead of running our own way, we run to God. Scripture says in Psalms 118, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. "You pushed me violently, my enemy, that I might fall. But," everybody say, "but, the Lord helped me. He is my strength and he is my song and he has become my salvation." It's a season to trust God. Real quickly, I'm going to give you five things real quickly. All of these could be a message, and I can't do that. Real quickly, five things we must know about trusting God. It comes from a very familiar story in John chapter 11, where Lazarus was very sick. Lazarus was the brother of Mary and Martha, and Lazarus was sick, nigh unto death. And we're going to pick it up, and I'm going to give you five quick points about trusting God. Number one is we can trust God's heart. We can trust God's heart. In John chapter 11, verse 1, it says this. A man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. This is the Mary who poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick. Verse 3. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus. How many know that's a good thing to do? And some of you need to do that this morning. You need to send a message to Jesus. You've been sending messages to your friends and to your family and everybody else that will listen. But there comes a point in time where we know that our help is not horizontal. Our help is only vertical. And you got to wave the flag to Jesus. You got to send a message to Jesus and let him know that you need his help. And they sent a message to Jesus and said, Lord, the one you love is very sick. This point is foundational to all the other points. If we don't get this point, the rest of it doesn't work for us. And that is this: trust in God is relational. We cannot trust someone that we do not know. Our trust in a person will only go as deep as our relationship with them. The reason Mary and Martha called on Jesus was because they knew him. They had a trust history with Jesus. They were in a relationship with him. Mary had poured out expensive perfume on him. They had entertained him in their home. They were friends. The reason they turned to Jesus in their hour of need was because they knew him. They knew his character. They knew what he was capable of. They knew his heart. They knew his nature. And so they called on him. Their entire request was based upon this one thing: relationship. The one you love is sick. They knew the love of God. They knew that Jesus loved them. They had relationship with him. We can only trust God to the extent that we know him. 2 Timothy 1:12 says this, "For I know whom I have believed." Another version says, "For I know the one I have believed." I used to always quote that scripture, run on by that first part, but the whole verse is predicated on that first part. I know the one in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I want you to keep it. I want you to, that you'll do all that, but it's all predicated on I know the one in whom I believe. I know in whom I have believed. I know the one in whom I am calling. It's because I know him. I know his nature. I know his character. I know his heart. I know that he will never leave me or forsake me. I know that he not only heals, but he is the healer. I know that only he will provide all my needs, but he is the provider. I know that his mercies are new every morning. I know that when I fail, when I repent, he always forgives me. I know that he loves me unconditionally. He'll never love me more than he loves me right now. He'll never love me less than he loves me right now. I know that I am loved by him. And when you know someone, you can trust someone. The reason many of us in this room have a problem trusting God with things is because we don't know him well enough yet. And this season that we're in is introducing God to us in a new way. We're getting to know him a little bit better if we will take the opportunity to turn the pressure and the leverage of the moment to push us into the presence of God instead of turning to a pill or to a bottle or to a TV program or to more hours at work or to another relationship. It's heavy and it's hard and it's dark and it's the valley, but he is there. And there are measures of who he is that I will find in this moment that I've never experienced before if I will choose to trust him. I can trust God's heart. His heart is who he is. If I know him, that's why Job could say, "Though you slay me, yet I'll serve you." That's why Peter said, "Jesus, if it's you, tell me to get out of the boat. I don't care what you tell me, as long as I know it's you, because I know you, I am confident in you." If we know him. So here's the thing. I don't know him as well as some of you know him. I know him a little better maybe than some of the others in this room. We're all on a journey that we might know him. So this season that we're in, that battle that you're fighting, that hard place in your life, many times that we just avoid or we try to medicate, it is that place that God is asking us to come deeper into relationship with Him. Our relationship with God is somewhat like a diamond. It has all of these facets, and God wants us to know new facets in our life so that we can trust Him more. Secondly, we can trust God's timing. We can trust God's timing. They cried out to Jesus. They sent Him a word, and they said, the one that you love is sick, and it's getting bad. And in verse 5, what it says is, now Jesus did love Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So, everybody say so. Because He loved them, when He heard their message that Lazarus was sick, He stayed put. He stayed where He was at for 2 more days. He loved them, and because He loved them, He didn't move when they thought He should move. He didn't do what they thought He should do, because how many of you know that God's ways are higher than our ways? We know that, but do we know that? That His thoughts and His ways are above ours. Many times in our life, the call to follow God is going to be to follow Him into a place I don't know, I can't see, and I can't understand. Now, we get all excited about God revealing stuff to us ahead of time, giving us this word about what's going to happen. Yet Jesus told Thomas, He said, "Blessed are those who don't see and still believe." We are blessed when we don't know, and we still choose to trust God. In Ecclesiastes 3, it says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. There is a time for the purpose of God in our life, but it rarely lines up with our timetable. And what happens is because it doesn't line up with our timetable, then we begin to back away from being able to trust God. How many of you know if we know Him, we know He is faithful and He is true. We know that God knows what's best for us. We know that He knows what He is working to bring about in our life is more than just this moment and just this situation. And oftentimes it includes people around us. Are we willing to trust Him for my good and the good of those around us and let Him work things according to His time? How many of you know if we trust Him, we can trust His timetable? And some of you in here today feel like the timing of God has been so off, or that the timing of God has passed. And the word of the Lord to you today is this, is it's not too late. Because He loved them, He stayed put for 2 more days. Number 3, we can trust God's plan. We can trust God's plan. During the waiting, as far as the eye could see, how many of you know that Lazarus got worse? As a matter of fact, when Jesus didn't come, Lazarus died. But here's what Jesus said about the situation. How many of you know His perspective and our perspective is totally different? In John 11:11, Jesus said this to the disciples as they began to go that way. "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and wake him up." We view our situation as being unalterable, that it can't change. And all God says is, if you'll just trust me, I'll wake things up. How many know nothing's too hard for God? The disciples didn't get it. He said, okay, Lazarus is dead. And then when He gets there, everybody said, Mary said it, Martha said it, the people in the community said it, if you would have came, you know, when we called on you, everything would have been all right. If you would have fit in our box, and if you would have went according to the steps that we had laid out, then things wouldn't have turned out this way. Some of us in this house today are viewing our situation, and we're only looking at it through natural eyes. God says it's time to see it from a different perspective. He's working big. He's working broad. He's working deep. Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and the disciples, they already knew Jesus as healer. What if Jesus would have came back when they asked Him to come back? What would He have done when He got there? What do you think He would have done? He would have healed Lazarus, wouldn't He? He'd have raised him up. But He wanted them to know Him in deeper dimensions, not just as healer, but resurrection life. They couldn't see that. They didn't know that. Jesus actually told the disciples as they were going, He said, "For your sake, I'm glad I wasn't there, that you might believe." There's things that God is doing that we can't see and we can't understand. There's a bigger plan. There's a bigger plan. Wherever you're at today, wherever you seem to be on the timeline, if we will just stop and say, God, I can trust you. God, I can trust you. God, I can't see it. I don't understand it. I don't know where this is going. I don't know how you're doing it. It doesn't look like nothing's happening, but I know you, and I know that you said you'll work all things together for my good, and you are working all things together for my good. And what about this? What if at the end of the day, what God works out doesn't line up with what I wanted him to work out? Am I still willing to trust him at that point? What if the end, because here's where we're at. And I do want to play that video. We've got time for it, so we're going to play that video. Here's the intermediate level of trust. It's like, okay, I'm going to trust God through all of these twists and turns and everything, as long as in the end it comes out the way I want it to. It may not come out the way we want it to. It may come out the way he wants it to. And if it comes out the way he wants it to, how many of you know we'll be much better off if we can learn to say like his son did, God, not my will. I trust you, God, not my will. This is the image. This is the picture. This is what I see the outcome being. But God, that may not be what you need in my life, in my family, in my community at all. God, you may have much bigger things that you're trying to do in and through my life. And I'm willing to trust you however you want it to turn out. I want you to watch this. This is about a 5-minute clip about someone who can talk to us about trusting the plan of God, even when it doesn't turn out the way we want it to. Go ahead.
I want you to know that the fear of being alone and having no purpose in your life is one of the most disabling things that you'll ever experience in your life. And you need to know the answer of two questions. Who are you and what do you want? For me, I realized as a kid, there was a choice I had to make. Either believe what the world said and only believe that broken pieces are ahead for me, or believe that God loves me. It was hard, because when God says in the Bible, I have a plan for you, I'm thinking, really? And I prayed for arms and legs. What do you want? I wanted arms and legs. It's not that difficult to believe. The God of the Bible says he has a plan for you. Do you see this timeline? I'm 8 years old, going forwards into the future. No idea what was ahead. The Bible says he has a plan. We don't see the plan, so it's kind of foolish to believe something that you can't see. But faith helps you to do that. Faith is exactly that. And faith comes when you hear the word of God. When I heard the word of God, I still didn't understand his love, his plan. So I prayed for a blueprint of his plan. And he didn't come back to me on that request. And when you don't hear from God, you then start to conclude what you believe. From then on, do you decide to keep on believing and waiting to see what happens and trust him? Or do we conclude to do this? There is no God. I'm alone. There is no hope. There is no purpose. I'm getting bullied for the rest of my life. I'm never getting married. I'm never going to have kids. Never going to be happy. Man, was I wrong or what? And at age 10, I tried to end my life, but I'm still here. All I could see were broken pieces, and I had no idea that there would ever be hope for someone truly disabled. Emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, the whole thing. I mean, on every checkbox. I wasn't myself sometimes. I was so angry at my life. And I want you to know in your life, there will be times where you feel like you'll be on the edge. But when you look at the word disabled, D-I-S-A-B-L-E-D, When you turn your back on the lies like this, and you come to the truth will set you free. Do I look disabled to you today? No. When you put a G-O, go, walk by faith and not by sight, and you put a G-O in front of the word disabled, it spells God is able to do what? Ephesians 3:20, exceedingly abundantly more than you could ever ask, imagine, or attain. What does that mean? It actually means that God has a good plan. He never withholds any good gifts. I was 15 years old and I read John chapter 9. A man was born blind and no one knew why. Jesus was asked by everyone, why was this man born blind? Now, my doctors don't know why I was born this way. My parents don't know why I was born this way. And I want you to know that we don't have any answers for my birth defect. Jesus said this blind man was born this way because God's works are going to be revealed through him. Jesus spits on the dirt, puts mud on the face of the blind man, and there is no record of the blind man saying anything, flinching, asking anything, moving backward, nothing. Jesus performs his miracle as he is still. I realized Jesus did not sit the blind man down and say, Mr. Blind Man, my name is JC. I'm the healer. I'm about to spit in the dirt and give you a facial. And after we wipe the mud off your face, you're going to see. He didn't do that. God doesn't need to tell me his plan. I just need to be still and believe he has a plan. That's when you walk by faith. Why would you need faith if God told you everything? If I was age 8 and I prayed for arms and legs and God instead told me everything he's going to do until the age of 33, you got to be kidding me. I would die of shock. Writing books, 55 languages. If God can use a man without arms and legs to be his hands and feet, then who can God not use? Amen. He loves you, and he can do anything with your broken pieces.
How many know we can trust his heart? We can trust his timing. We can trust his plan. We got to take our timeline, throw it away. Trust him. We got to take our plan, how we thought it was all going to turn out. Throw it away and be good with whatever he's got. He created us. He formed us. He knows what we need. He'll never leave us. He'll always be faithful. He said, Mary, your brother will rise again. She said, Jesus, there was a time when I would have believed you, but it's past that time. The culture of the day, the Jewish culture of the day, had a belief, and that belief was that when a person died, that for 3 days following their death, their spirit hovered around their body. And that within those 3 days, it was possible for the spirit to rejoin the body and that person not to die eternally. So they believed 3 days, but when did Jesus show up? day four. He wanted everybody to know this was something only he could do. This was past all human ability. It was a done deal. The fourth thing is that we can believe his word. He said, Mary, your brother is going to rise again. You can believe his word no matter what things look like, no matter how far gone they are. You can believe that God, who spoke the worlds into existence, that when he speaks over your life, that it will come to pass. Fifth point is this, that we can trust in God's power. Nothing's too far gone. Nothing's too big. Aren't you thankful that with God all things are possible? If we believe, if we trust. He said, roll away the stone. And then with a loud voice, he proclaimed, with all the power of heaven, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead was now alive. That thing in our life that appears so dead is nothing to the power of God. He can bring it alive if we will trust him. How many of you know he can bring it alive if we will trust him? We can trust his power. If you will, stand up on your feet. 'Tis the season to trust God. The next 2 weeks, as you prepare for the holiday, as you're going through the motions, as you're around family, as you're working, as you're dealing with all of the uncertainties of life, remind yourself moment by moment, this is a season to trust God. I embrace this season. This is a season that God is drawing me into myself. You may say it's a dark time. It's a hard time. I don't know how I'm going to make it time, but God is able and we can trust him. Are you going to trust him? This morning, if you are in a season of your life that resembles maybe the first Christmas of Zacharias or Elizabeth or Mary or Joseph or any of those folks who they were afraid and they were anxious and they were uncertain and they were in angst and there were all these things going on in their life. But as Mary said, she just said, God, just be it unto me according to your word. I'm just going to trust you. If you're in one of those seasons, raise your hand. Just lift them up to your Father in heaven like this right here. And by doing that, we are proclaiming with all that we are that our help is in the name of the Lord. Our prayer team, we're going to pray, but our prayer team is going to come ahead and come across the front right now. In just a moment, if you need someone to agree with you, that God is birthing his miracle in your season of uncertainty as you come to deeper levels of trust. Do not leave here today without joining with someone. We have people that have been praying and fasting and believing, and they want to agree with you for this to be a season of turnaround. But Father, you see our hands. God, you see our hearts. God, you see our weakness. God, you see our frailty. You're okay with all of it, God, as long as we lean it all into you, oh God. God, we give it to you. We give you our failure. God, we give you our doubt. God, we give you our unbelief, God. We come to you as we are, God. Take us and make us into what you want us to be, God. We trust your timing. We trust your heart. We trust your plan. We trust your word. We trust your power. God, we thank you, God, that you are moving mightily, God, in our lives in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Let's give him a hand clap of praise this morning.